Pastor Alan showed us a video of his at staff meeting one day, and like all good people do, I made sure he was teaching sound doctrine, so I went home and Googled the rest of it and found the rest of the video and sorting context and went through a whole lot of stuff. But Francis Chan talks about just reading the red letters in the Bible. And I do most of my reading off my phone because it's just convenient. It's always with me. But I was just challenged that I want to, and what he said in one of the talks that I heard him say, he said, what happens if on Sunday we announce next Sunday we're going to have a church meeting and all we're going to do, we're not going to have any singing, we're going to have no tea and cake or coffee, we're just going to read 2 chapters out of this holy book. He said, who would still come? And I thought, wow. You know, we leave and we go, oh man, that music, I would have done it differently, or I wish they had more slice available. I got my coffee, was a little bit cold. No, the coffee is never cold, it's always warm, but you know what I'm talking about. We leave with a little bit of a grumble. And he was saying, what happens if we came to church and we were just excited to read 2 chapters out of this book? And so when he was speaking about it, he spoke about a love for the Word, and I was just challenged in my life. You know, I read the Bible a lot, so I really believe I'm diligent, and I try to be diligent, but I was challenged to go and buy a book and just show a bit more, and I use the word respect lightly, just to say, you know, God, I revere your Word, and I respect your Word enough that I want to buy a book and something that I can read. And so I've started reading just the red letters, and it's pretty amazing, and I'll chat a little bit about it more. So let's just pray, and if you just want God to speak to you tonight, why don't you just lift one hand and let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as a sign to you that we're saying, God, yes, speak to me, we lift our hand, we're going to look at your Word tonight, we pray that you'd speak to us, and God, we don't want to just leave the way we came, because that would just be a waste of time, but we want to move one step, just one little bit closer to who you are, what you want for us, and what you have for us. And so as an act of faith, and we have our hands up and say, God, speak to me, we pray that tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm convinced that faith starts with an action, doing something. And so I'm reading, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Pastor Eleanor said, oh, I spoke about that verse this morning. I was thinking, nah, you didn't. And then I remembered, of course, she was at Coast, but she did speak about it last week. I did remember. Now, when I was looking for a translation, I was told that the one to get is the New Living Translation, because that's the one Pastor Ellen preaches from. So that's what I did, like a good student. just a bit of background, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. So Solomon has been building the temple, and the Bible says that it took 20 years to build the temple. We all know the story that David wanted to build a temple for God, a place to house God, because he said God shouldn't be in a tent when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back. And God said, because there's blood on your hands, you've been a soldier and a warrior, you're not going to do it, but because of you and what you've done, the blessing will be that your son can build it. And so Solomon came along, and Solomon gets to build the temple. And so this chapter 7, after 20 years of building, it says, when Solomon finished praying, this is the actual dedication of the temple, verse 1. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down to the ground and worshipped and praised, saying, He is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then I want to drop down just a bit further. Verse 11. The Lord's response to Solomon, this is now after what Solomon has said and done, and they've for 7 days, I mean, if you read it there, I wonder what the smell was in the land. They slaughtered something like 120,000 cattle, and there were sheep, and it was an incredible festival, just to an honor and a sacrifice to God. And then the Lord's response in verse 11, so Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he planned. And then in verse 12, it says, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. At the times it goes on, talks about all of the sacrifices. But then verse 14, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. And, you know, we've all heard that verse before, and I thought we're coming up on 2 weeks of prayer and fasting as a church, and there's some booklets on your chairs that'll be great to take and actually have a read. But I just wanted to challenge you on the subject of prayer tonight. And one interesting thing when I was preparing for this, of all the kings of Israel, none of them are spoken about as having prayed as much as Solomon. If you just go chapter after chapter, it says, you just flick back in your Bible, just one or two chapters, and you see Solomon prayed, and he prayed, and Solomon prayed. Chapter 6, Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you have said," and he carries on. And then the start of this chapter, when Solomon finished praying, and everywhere you read, Solomon was one of the kings probably that prayed the most and spoke the most to God. You know, there's not a lot of verses where you hear a lot of the kings pray. Normally, it's he did good in the eyes of the Lord or he did bad. But Solomon's life was filled with prayer. And I think that's one of the reasons why God said, you can build my temple. You can build the place that I want to live. Because I believe it's when you're praying that you come to the place where God is. So I want to, just out of that verse, if my people will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Those four things I want to just talk to you tonight about, because I believe all four of those are encompassed in prayer. And if you say tonight, well, what is prayer? Prayer is just communicating with God. Who of you have ever felt you have a relationship with someone that's pretty one-sided? Don't put your hand up now. But I'm sure there's some of you who feel, man, I've got a really one-sided relationship. If I don't call them, they don't call back. Or there's other ones where you go for something, coffee or something, you don't get a word in because that person's doing all the talking. That's one-sided. I wonder if sometimes our relationship with God is a little bit one-sided, that God's been doing all the talking and we're just not even talking back, maybe not even listening. And so just a challenge for you tonight, think about prayer as communication, talking with God. That's all it is. Sometimes we think it's a big thing. Prayer is simply just communication with God, talking to God, back and forward with God. So the first one of those, if my people will humble themselves, I really believe that prayer can only come out of a humble heart. Yeah. If you're not humbling yourself, you will never call on God in prayer because you think you can do it yourself. Yeah. But when you get to a place, you go, well, God, I can't do this. This is way beyond me. I'm going to humble myself and say, God, I know you can do this, because it's a thing that's humbling, and God just needs to come into your space, but you have to invite him. And I believe more than anything that humility is an attitude of your heart. You know, I heard a story of a mom that was driving and had a little kid on the back seat, and this would have to be in Africa because you don't need baby seats in the back like you do in New Zealand. So the little boy was sort of in the back, and every now and then she looked in the mirror and he was standing up, and she kept shouting him, sit down. You know, the moms normally say, if you don't stop that, I'm going to come back there. Well, the kid knows you're never really going to come back there because you're busy driving, actually. But, you know, all those threats. And eventually, after long, long nagging and big threats and all sorts of things, the little boy was sitting down, but he had this big grin on his face. And she looked in the mirror and said, what are you grinning about? He said, well, I might be sitting, but on the inside, I'm still standing. And isn't that sometimes our response to humility? Well, God, I'll bend down here, but on the inside, I'm still standing because I think I'm self-made and I can do this and I don't really need God. Where are you standing on the inside? I'm not worried about what you're doing on the outside. What are you doing on the inside? Have you really said, God, I'm going to humble myself because I know that you are the one who holds the key and the answer to everything? And we sang a song today that love has a name. And do we really humble ourselves to the power of that name that is above everything else? You know, the Bible talks a lot, and I spoke about it a few weeks back, about reverence and just the presence of God. And if I can just read even the start of this chapter again, in chapter 7, when Solomon was finished praying, just listen to this and just imagine for a minute. Fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the offerings and the sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple, so much so that the priests, they were the ones who were meant to be ministering in the temple, they couldn't go in there. Can you just imagine for a minute? Let's just think about it. You're coming up the Yilya to up Grange Road, and you see the church, and there's a flash of fire. And next thing, this place is full. That you get here, and Pastor Allen's outside, and the hosts are outside, the worship team's outside, because God's presence has filled the place. Can you imagine the humility that we would have in our hearts? We wouldn't be saying, man, I want to get in. I've got to be leaving yet an hour. Or I'm going to miss my slice, or I'm not going to be able to get my favorite seat. none of those things would matter. Because we'll have a humility and go, God, what have I been doing all this time? This is what really matters. We could close that service and I don't believe many people would leave. There'd be people wanting to stay here. There'd be people camping here. Joshua camped outside the tent to the place of meeting permanently. Didn't want to leave because he had seen that. We watch our watches. When we say amen, I think some people misinterpret it as fire. And they're leaving as quick as they can after the service. We've just said amen. You don't need to go yet. But do you get what I'm saying? Do we really just think about what the presence of God really is? The same with, you know, the Bible. It'll lie next to our bed. And do we really think what we've got there? This is just incredible. And I'm always reminded of people in communist parts of the world who have one page and they cherish it and they build a church on it. We got a church on a whole lot, yeah, and we're still trying to work it out. They got one page and they got something and they got a whole thing going. And so I really want to just challenge us to really just check inside of our hearts. Am I really a humble person when it comes to God? I'm not talking about, even about this. We need to be humble amongst everyone, yeah, but I'm talking about God. Are you a humble person when you come before God? I believe that humility is something that you learn. It's not something that you just catch. You teach yourself to be humble and you say, God, no, I'm not going to be reliant on my own ways. I'm going to say, God, I need you. And there's no ways I can do this. It's not just natural. I think you just got to have a little toddler at home to realize how independent we really want to be. And we think as you grow up, growing up is a sign of independence. And we've got to be more dependent. Well, I'm thinking when it comes to God, we need to be a little bit different. And we need to become like a child. The Bible says that. And we really need to make sure we have that in our hearts. Another thing of humility, I believe, is just being able to bend your knees. And I spoke about this a few weeks ago. When last have you bent your knees and just bowed down before God? We read here that the whole children of Israel, when they saw this, it said they fell down and worshipped. When have you just in faith believed, you know what, God, I believe you are right here now. I'm going to kneel down. And I've challenged myself and I've started doing it, and most days, I'll go on my knees and I'll read just from the Bible. And, you know, I can't tell you what a difference it has made into my life as far as my outlook and my attitude. It has changed the way I see things. And even when I'm standing in church worshiping, I close my eyes and just go, God's here. The incredible creator of the universe is here. If that doesn't move you and change you, go on your knees a bit and just imagine. Say, okay, God, I'm just going to imagine fire coming down and this place, just the place shaking. That's what God we serve in. This is a real living God. Now, let me tell you, I've never felt that in my bedroom, and praise the Lord, there's been no fire because we're renting. I wouldn't want it burning, but I'm talking about taking your eyes and fixing them on things that you can't see and just saying, God, I sense your incredibleness and who you are, but I humble myself because of who you are. The next one was pray. What was interesting, that first verse, it says, when Solomon finished praying, that's when the fire came down, and that's when God's presence filled the temple. Are you praying in your life, or are you just winging a prayer on the way to work, or have you set down a time? I don't believe Solomon was just wandering past the temple saying, oh God, bless you, what an incredible building, and then this fire came down. I believe that he had got down on his knees and his hands was just saying, God, thank you for this incredible building that we've been able to build for you to come live in. And when he finished praying, it all happened. Maybe things are not happening in your life and in my life because we're not praying enough. We're not speaking to God and bringing these things to God and putting them before him. I want to read out of the Message Bible in Mark chapter 11, Jesus, it says there that Jesus was matter of fact. He said, embrace this God life, really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, you'll just say to it, go jump into the lake. No shuffling, and then says a few other words, what goes on, says nothing like that, it'll happen. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything. Ranging from the small to the large, include everything as you embrace this God life and you'll get God's everything. you would say, if you embrace everything in this God life, you will get God's everything. But then listen to this. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. And it goes on talking about forgiving, asking if others need to, if you need to forgive anyone. But it says, when you assume the posture of prayer, you see, I believe, and I said earlier, that all faith starts with some kind of action. Put your hand up if you want God to speak to you tonight, or come forward if you want God to do a miracle. Well, I believe that you need to assume the posture of prayer. And I'm all for, you know, I'm not saying that you need to come here and get on your knees every service, but I'm saying in your life, you need to assume some kind of posture that you're going to say, okay, God, I want to do something different to what I do the rest of the day. And maybe I'm going to kneel, or maybe for you it's something different, going to stand somewhere and look at something. You know, I'm always amazed how two people can stand on top of an incredible mountain and see an incredible view, and one of them can go, wow, look what God has made, and someone else will just go, oh, look at that there, I wonder how we get down there, and is there a path, I wonder. The splendor of creation, the Bible talks about creation talking about God, the creation being witness to God and what God has done. But so I want to just, you know, challenge you in your life over this coming 2 weeks. We've got a week of prayer and 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. Ask yourself, am I assuming the posture of prayer? Whatever that means to you. And you need to ask God, God, what is the posture of prayer in my life? I'm not going to tell you that I pray on my knees all the time. I've got holes in my jeans. You can see some people do. But, you know, but I'm just saying, what is the posture of prayer in your life? Jesus talks about go to the place where you pray, having a place. Have you got a place where you go and say, God, this is where me and you are going to just, I want to do something different. I don't want to just, you know, for me, when I go to meet other people and then I'm getting in the day or in the world or cafes or whatever, and I look around and I just think, I've been on my knees this morning. I wonder who else has. And it's just, it's something inside of you. You go, man, God, I've just brought myself to a posture of prayer. So what is your posture of prayer? What are you doing in your life? I want to also challenge you. It's incredible to pray on your own, but I think there's a power when you pray together. Yeah. And Josh challenged you to come to some of the prayer meetings. He said two. I'm going to say three. No, I'm not. But just come to some of the prayer meetings. You know, there's a thing about corporate prayer and getting together and letting your faith rise. And can I challenge you another one thing then? Get into a connect group way beyond these 2 weeks. Get into a connect group. And if they don't pray after your first meeting and they're about to leave, then just say, hey, let's pray quickly. No one's going to shoot you down. They'll all be happy. But let's just get together and be people that pray together, that we can see God do incredible miracles in our world and our circle and what we do. So, you know, pray on your own, but pray in a group, because there's something about the corporate power of prayer. Jesus said, where two or three agree on anything. And so I want to really challenge you about that. And if you're feeling challenged about what I'm speaking to tonight, listen to the podcast from last week, Sunday morning, when Pastor Eleanor spoke, and the week before when Pastor Alan spoke on prayer. Just powerful, powerful stuff. And I believe God is moving us to a place where we become people that pray. So it said, if my people will humble themselves and pray. And then it said, and seek my face. You know, what's interesting in that verse there, it didn't say the first verse of chapter 7. It didn't say Solomon came to the temple to see the presence or the glory of God. It said he came and prayed. He sought God's face, and then it followed. And so I want to challenge you, make sure you're seeking God, not his gifts. If you come to God and you seek the presence of God, the Bible says all these other things will be added. But come and seek the presence. Sometimes we can get so zealous for the gifts that we're seeking the gifts and we're not actually seeking God. They will come on their own. The Bible says signs and wonders will follow. It's not something that you go looking for. You go looking for God and all the rest will come. I was blessed enough to get saved 40 years ago, and I was talking with Gene about it, and you know, we do an altar call, yeah, and we say, put your hand up if you want to get saved. And what we really need to be saying is, if you want to start the journey. And the early church, the early Christians were called people who follow the way. And that's really what happened to me 40 years ago. I decided I want to follow the way of Jesus. And so I got born again, but that's where I started that journey. And for 40 years, it's been a journey of following and trying to make sure I'm on the same course, following and seeking God, and making sure that I make decisions that are going to aid my seeking and not take away from it. There's some things you can do that will help you. Yep, I'm definitely making progress. I'm seeking God. Now I don't have all the answers. Just the other day, someone asked me something, and I went, wow, how do I answer that? And so we're not saying that we know the answers, but we're saying as long as you're on a journey, and you're moving in that direction. Say, God, I'm seeking you with all my heart, and God will answer you. God will come, and God will reveal himself. And that's what it means to follow, to be a follower of Christ, to be someone that's pursuing and seeking God. I really believe that you are as close to God today as you have chosen to be. You're as close to God today as you have chosen to be. If you're feeling a little bit distant from God, I'm telling you, God hasn't moved. You have. And normally you haven't actually moved, you just turned your face. So you're not looking to God anymore. You're looking elsewhere. Maybe things around you, or you've been distracted. But you need to just turn and say, God, I want to just look at you. I want to seek you. I want to pursue you. I feel like I'm preaching to the converted, because you're all here tonight. So you already made a good step in a good direction. But I just think, in all the small things in your life, what are you listening to? What's playing in on your stereo? What do you watch on TV? What are you allowing yourself to look at? What are you doing for entertainment? And are you seeking God? Have you chosen to really seek God? Or are you just sort of going with the flow because it's convenient and a few of your mates come here? Or are you being purposeful about seeking God and making sure you look that way? You know, I read a little daily devotional probably about a week ago or earlier this week. And it just said that, you know, the Bible talks about the heavens will open and there will be a sound of a trumpet and Jesus Christ will return and every eye will see him and everyone will behold him. And it says, goes on to say, no one will know when, no one knows the hour, even the Son of God doesn't know. And you know what my thought was? What will I be doing that very moment? What will I be doing that very moment? You know, I'm sure all of you who've had children have at one time gone, ooh, I haven't seen little Johnny for a while. I wonder where he is. And you sneak up to the bedroom. What delight when you walk in and he's maybe flipping through a book or building a nice little Lego thing. But then there's been other instances when you come around the corner and you go, oh my goodness, Johnny's busy painting the wall. And he shouldn't be. You know what I mean? And I just thought, I wonder what God's reaction is going to be. The day that Jesus returns, what will I be doing? What will you be doing? Will I be out pursuing some hobby of mine? Will I maybe be up at the church here? Will I maybe be standing here? Will I be sitting there? What will I be doing? Now, I mean, I don't know that it, you know, Pastor Alan had a good theory that if it happens at the right time, we'll all be sleeping because we're on this side of the world. But, you know, the fact is, are you really seeking God? When Jesus returns, when that trumpet sounds and the heavens open, will Jesus come back to find you actually seeking him? Or will you be just seeking your own thing or going your own direction or trying to bat at your own career or build your own little empire? I know what I want to be doing. I want to be found seeking God. That God will say, well done, good and faithful. And, you know, not the opposite of, well, I didn't even know you. Away from me. What will you be doing? Then the fourth one. So we had, if you will humble yourself, if you will pray, and if you will seek my face. And then the last one, and if you'll turn from your wicked ways. Now, in the 70s and the 80s, you heard lots of sermons on repent and turn from your wicked ways. We don't hear a lot of that anymore. I don't think we hear enough of it. It's a biblical concept, the concept of repent. So repent means, for those of you who may not know, repent means that when you're confronted by something that the Holy Spirit says you're doing wrong, and sometimes not the Holy Spirit, sometimes people around you, what you are doing wrong, you need to turn and say, I realize that's wrong. That's not what it means to be seeking God or to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to turn and I'm going to go the other way. That's what it means to repent. And I want to challenge all of us here tonight. And while I was preparing this, I sort of had a little bit of a chuckle. The Bible says that let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And so if there's any area that you think, man, I've really got it together. If I ever tell anyone, man, in that area I don't struggle. I always make sure I add, by the grace of God, somehow I've got that together. I don't know how. And so that's one challenge. The second challenge, the Bible also says that if anyone thinks he's without sin, he deceives himself. And so if any one of us here tonight is thinking, well, I've got nothing to repent about, you're not looking hard enough. or you're looking really hard in the wrong direction. Because every single one of us, I don't care who you are, and we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we just, by the grace of God, we get to breathe our next breath. And don't for one minute think, man, you know, when you hear of someone committing adultery, you think, man, that'll never happen to me. Wow, what did he do that for? How bad a person. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. What you should be doing is dropping to your knees and praying for the guy and praying for yourself and your spouse and your mom and dad and whoever, because that should be your reaction, not to judge them. So let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And again, another was interesting. We were challenged a little while ago to make sure that whenever we speak about connect groups or getting people connected. And I thought, well, that's going to be pretty difficult. Man, it's actually really easy. I want you to make sure that you're in a connect group. And when I say connect group, in a small group of people that you can learn to trust and build relationship with. Because, number one, the Bible says confess your sins one to another. Well, I certainly don't want to be standing here and meeting someone at the door. Hey, oh, by the way, I'm just going to confess quickly what I've been doing this week. I want to make sure I'm in relationship with this person. And I want to maybe watch for a few weeks that I've seen he doesn't actually tell stuff. You know, you can even test him if you want to. And sort of put a few things out there and say, I can trust this guy. When this guy says, when I say something to him, I know it's going to go no further. And then I can go to him and say, hey, I want to just confess this to you. This is something in my life that's bugging me. I know this is not helping me as I seek God. Would you pray with me about this? Because you see, there's a power in the secrecy of sin. When you think no one knows, man, you can live it up wild. But let me tell you now, I challenged someone about a week ago in an area that I'd consider myself, by the grace of God, quite blessed. And I challenged the guy about it. And I said, I want to just challenge you about this. I don't know where you stand, but I just feel I want to challenge you. Man, the next week, I noticed the slightest error of my ways. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to make sure I'm lining up. Because there's something about an accountability and a connectedness with someone. So you make sure you're in a group where you've got people that you can build into and can build into you. And I want to ask you quickly, when was the last time you said to someone, I give you permission, if you see anything in my life, to speak to me and say, I think that's wrong, or I think you can do better. When last have you done that? Can I challenge you that if you have not done that, you need to be doing that? Because God has put people around us, every one of the people that we are in connection with. No matter what happens, we're in this together. We're going to grow together or we're going to fall apart together. And so I want to make sure that I've got people around me who I know care and are going to speak truthfully and honestly and say, well, actually, I think what you're doing there or the way you speak to that person or the way you do this or the way you do that. When was the last time you asked someone to speak into your life? I believe that we become blind to things in our own lives because they've just been there so long. And so we don't notice them. And that'll be the power of having someone around you come in and go, actually, I'm not sure if you've noticed this. 9 out of 10 times you probably will have. But you want to make sure that you pay attention to that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I want to read one more scripture. And this is the same chapter, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 22. And what has happened, God has said to Solomon, if you obey me as your father David did, I will dwell in this house and I'll be with you. But in verse 22, and then it said, if you walk away and turn away the nations, you'll become a mockery to the nations, etc., etc. And this building will be down to rubble. It says in verse 22, and people will answer, because this people abandoned the Lord. Because this people abandoned the Lord. And I want to challenge you today. The word abandon also means forsake or to turn away from. I'm convinced, I think most of us here at one other stage have said, well, actually, I want to become a follower of Christ. But I want to challenge you tonight, is there any areas of your life where you've abandoned that pursuit? Any areas of your life where you've gone, oh, I'm just not going to do that because this is more convenient, or this is how I want to go. Maybe it's in the area of prayer. And maybe you've said already in your heart, well, I'm not going to come to any of these prayer meetings. I'm just going to pray at home. I'm going to just do it on my own. Are there areas of your life or my life where I've abandoned or forsaken things that God has spoken into my life that I've forgotten? And maybe just thought, I'm going to just do it on my own. So I really want to just challenge us tonight as we're going to close off. Are you prepared to humble yourself, to pray, and to really seek God, and to turn from your wicked ways in order to see God come and just answer? You know, the next part of that verse says there, where God answers and says that my eyes, in verse 15, after he said, if you will do all of this, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer that is made in this place. So if you feel God's not listening to you, can I challenge you? There's four simple things that you need to do. Humble yourself, pray, seek God, and turn from your wicked ways. God says his ears and his eyes will be open, listening to what you want to say. Can we all stand? And I'm going to pray, and we're going to just sing a worship song. And I want to challenge you, maybe even don't sing. Just think about God and God's throne, and maybe speak to God in your own voice and say, God, I want to humble myself today. And over these next 2 weeks, as we have prayer and fasting, I want to pray. I'm going to come to some prayer meetings, and I'm going to pray on my own. I'm also going to seek your face and make sure that that's the way I'm going. And besides seeking your face, I'm also going to turn from my wicked ways, because I want to have an open channel with God, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Let's worship.